I want to talk about this fourth paraclete promise. But I wanted to point out something interesting in the way St. Luke describes the jailer's remark. Huh? He saw all this happening, and this earthquake, and he knew these were kind of special people. He knew that, I think, because why beat these men? You know, what have they been doing? Except preaching. But his question is, what shall I do to be saved? Now, what would that mean to him? How do I get out of this mess? You know, my life doesn't mean much. You know, I don't know where I'm going. I have no idea what happens when I die. And how do I get out of this? That's what saved would mean to him, I think. And it's important because, you see, that's the salvation we preach. That jailer's situation is multiplied billions of times over right now in our world. This fourth paraclete promise is a promise to the disciples. First, Jesus discusses that, I tell you I'm going, which means I'm leaving this world via the cross, suffering, and so forth, to resurrection and the Father. I'm going. And it means all that in John. For instance, the other text we have, those who believe in me will do greater works than I do. Why? Because I go to the Father. It means that whole process of arrest, torture, killing, and rising from the dead. I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go. Why? Well, he's going to describe, he already has three other times already, because you see, my friends, the plan is not complete until the other paraclete comes. Jesus is a paraclete, as you know, and says that in 1 John. Until the other paraclete comes. The plan is not complete. I've died, or I will have died, will have risen from the dead. But how is it going to touch you? How is this thing that this jailer is asking for going to actually happen in your life? The work of the Holy Spirit. That's who makes it all real and brings it into living, transforming touch with our lives, is the precious Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who lives and acts in us. And this is God we're talking about. Now, one of the things he does is strengthen us in our adherence to Jesus and in our witness to him for the sake of the world. So if I do not go the paraclete, I've discussed why I prefer paraclete to advocate. When you're a translator, you have your choice. You put in a word like paraclete, which means nothing, and you put in a big footnote to try to explain it. Or you find a word as close as you can to what it means, and you hope for the best. Those are your two options. So it's not a bad word. I'll send him to you. This is gone now. If you collect these five sayings, you'll see the Father will send in my name. Now I will send. See, we're talking about the mystery at the very heart of all reality, the infinite, glorious mystery, the Trinity. And when he comes, he will convict the world. Actually, the notion here is that he will prove the world is wrong. If the world accepts it, it's not world, it's kingdom. But to whom is the Holy Spirit going to prove that the world is wrong? To the believer, to strengthen him and to encourage us to go tell everybody. Because where they're going is nowhere. To prove that the world is wrong in regard to sin, righteousness, or vindication, and condemnation or judgment. Just so happens these words are so abundant that they could go either way. So how does the Holy Spirit prove to us that the world is wrong about sin? What's the biggest sin in the United States today? What does everybody think the biggest sin is?
Atheism.
Unbelief is the one Jesus says, right? Atheism. See, you're all so nice. The world doesn't give a fig about that. What's the biggest sin? You know, not being politically correct. I mean, that's the biggest sin. Not fitting in with the secular orientation of our whole world. That's the sin. You don't fit. You're not singing along with Mitch. You know, that's the sin. And that's why Catholics are mocked every day in the press. The only form of prejudice left in the country. Why? Because you don't... Now, we need, and our children need, strong conviction about really wrong. What's really wrong isn't that there isn't enough money to go on experimenting with embryos. What's really wrong is that people don't believe in Jesus. That's the sin. And we have to know that. First, for our own clarity of mind. Second, so that we can educate our children. And third, so that we can preach to the world. That's why we need it. Well, where do I get it? The Holy Spirit. To see the issue. To believe in Jesus. To yield to the truth of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit is witnessing to us and to everybody. Jesus promised, you see. He will witness and you will witness, it says earlier in this same section. St. Augustine says, you understand? He witnesses interiorly and you witness exteriorly. You be faithful to what he's teaching you and speak it. Love it. Be aware that everybody looking at you could see Christ if you would die to sin and live to God. Do they ever need it? Everybody knows something's wrong. And just a pious formula won't do it, right? The world is full of it. It's got to be real. So the Holy Spirit will show you. My friend, open up the eyes of your heart with love and sympathy and compassion and look. And every day, Satan makes greater inroads here and there. And more people suffer. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to give you the love and the insight and the compassion of Christ. In regard to righteousness, it says, well, the word is dikaiosyne, which means righteousness, but it means more than that. You see, righteousness doesn't mean I'm good. It means God accounts me as belonging to the kingdom. That's what it means. And so, how does he do that, you see? What is righteousness? Was Jesus vindicated? A nice guy, you know, had some pretty good ideas, meant well, never did anybody any harm, and well, the cops got him and killed him, and that's what happens to everybody. No. Jesus' act of love has been eternally vindicated. We're going to celebrate it right here on this altar. Eternally vindicated. That's the way to go. To love, to pray, to forgive, to embrace the will of the Father and trust Him. That's the way to go. Well, I mean, you don't make a lot of money that way. That's right. You don't. If God wants you to, maybe you do. But that is vindicated in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is vindicated your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is alive. That act of love in which He died, in such humility and humiliation, He is the Lord of the universe. And the Holy Spirit would like to impress that on your spirit so that you really know it. And then you're not confused. What really matters? Power, money, influence, blah, blah, blah. No. How many people can remember the latest millionaire? And yet today, 1 billion and more people are celebrating the feast of a farmer. And then finally, condemnation or crisis, judgment. The Holy Spirit will show you who's really judged. All these martyrs, more martyrs in our century than the rest of the history of the church put together. Oh, poor people. God, they just didn't have any friends in court. They just, they are living in glory. And the instigator of their death, he's already been condemned. But that's not what it looks like. Well, you go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to open up your heart and mind to get a good glimpse of reality so that you see that the world is wrong about sin, about vindication, and about judgment. So now that you know the world is wrong, what do? Sit back and say, well, they're wrong, I'm right? Not if that's the Holy Spirit that's convicted you. You say, my God, look at the meaninglessness. Look at a high school full of kids who are on dope, involved in Wicca, and over 3/4 of them are suffering depression. And we're going to let that falsehood continue to weigh on these people and on this world. The Lord got us out of bed, brought us here to hear the word, to give us the body and blood of His Son, and we're going to, if I was a multi-billionaire, and I didn't care about anybody, people would think I was very selfish, and they'd be right. Well, I'm a super, super multi-billionaire. I know Jesus. And I'm going to say tough luck on everybody else. That's the point of this text. The paraclete will prove the world wrong so that you can go preach to it. Whoops.